Welcome to the Back 9 Six-Pack with Mitch and Justin. Let's roll.
Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of the Back 9 Six-Pack. My name is Mitch, joined as always by my esteemed colleague, Justin. We are so close to all of the good things in life, really being here.
Oh, I mean, the next couple weeks is just chock full of goodies for me and you.
Yeah, I realized today, like, how much May is underrated by me. Like, it's, like, rocketed up the month rating power rankings here.
Honestly, there's, especially this year, I feel like it's got a lot of good stuff happening. But even on, like, a normal year without the bachelor party we're going on here in about a week and a half, you know, league starts, just general club events. I think we've got a scramble coming up in like 3 weeks or something like that. Just top-notch time to be alive, for sure.
Yeah. Just all, like you said, all the things we enjoy. Got some special events. I think this is the last Shandy I have in my fridge. I think I'm going to declare Shandy season is over after I drink tonight.
No, don't say that. I had two left. I bought another 12-pack this weekend. Let's pop these open here real quick. Hold on. I'm going back to Old Faithful here. Nice ice-cold Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. I just hounded down. I just hounded down a gigantic steak at a dinner tonight. So we're going to try to be a little bit healthy with the beer choices.
Yeah. A nice cold, light domestic. Perfect. Follow up that steak. Alrighty. Before we get into it tonight, please, we would appreciate it if you subscribed, rated, reviewed the show. It helps us out a lot. Please follow us on social media at Back96Back, wherever you get your social media. Speaking of, shout out to Gunth. I did a cool little video with them. We played last week. And I talked him into doing a play hole with Gunth, and the results were just superb. Chef's kiss. Could not have gone better than how it went. Just if you haven't seen it yet, go over to our Instagram or Facebook and check that video out. And as he says, feel free to get in the comments and roast him and his golf swing. So,
you know, he was a good sport about it. I hopped in there and, I could have been a lot meaner, I guess, because he didn't get too upset about it, but he was a good sport. Great content by him. I don't think anything encapsulates his golf game as much as that video did, finding a way to make bogey from that tee shot after getting a bounce off the cart path. Just if anybody wants to know what it's like playing golf with him, there it is. So,
you know, it's good when Nick's dad, shout out Tom, chimes in and asks if you want to sell your putter. So,
yeah. And he did it on Facebook, by the way, which is even, it makes it that much better. So we're, the hate is traveling across many different platforms. So,
yeah. Also, I don't know if the audio picked it up. My clubs fell down again. So
Jesus,
shout out to my cart bag that I decided not to get a stand bag. It's really working out great for me.
That's what you get.
Yeah. So, hey, we wanted to start with the show. Look, we're coming back on golf season. We're actually getting some rounds in, back to more of, you know, our golf and kind of what we're up to. So speaking of that round we played with Gunth, got out there, you know, a little Friday afternoon, snuck in 18 riding, took us, you know, 3 hours, 15 minutes or whatever, just perfect. Weather was great. Broke 80. I surprisingly, after starting 5 over through the first four, which included a bin Laden on hole two, for a nice double, that was fun. I righted the ship and, you know, steered it home and 2 over from there. Had a couple birdies, back to back on 3 and 4 on red, which were really nice, especially the one on 3. It was really into the wind on that hole and had hit a nice, like, flighty 8 iron that impressed myself. But yeah, it was Gunth and I both had the same exact feeling walking off. It was one of those rounds which is good for your soul. Like, you just needed that round of golf. The vibes were high. We got the golden hour. You know, you can see this. I mean, the weather, like I said, was perfect. You guys watched the video. Like, some of the views from Gunt's ejection on 8 was worth it on its own. So yeah, and then we hit up Grandstand after and had a little nightcap. So we had ourselves an afternoon.
I missed out. You did. Big time. Well, I wasn't in the mood to play a lot of golf after Tuesday last week. Because I played on Tuesday, perfect weather, no wind, like almost no wind, which is surprising for April around here. And I should have known it was going to be a long day. So I get on the first tee box and I start immediately, like I deal with some work stuff when I'm golfing every once in a while. Like it's not every time, but I don't really have office hours, so stuff pops up, right? But instantly, not even hit the first tee shot yet, I'm getting bombarded with emails and text messages coming from about 9 different ways, and I'm like, okay, whatever. Didn't particularly have a great range session heading in. My first couple holes were fine. I hit the ball fine. I hit 2 fairways, made 2 pars. I parred a par 5, which I'm not crazy about, but given the rest of the day, I'd have taken that par on any other par 5 after this. So, and then it just went like I shanked the shot on 3, ended up making double, hit one out of bounds on the next hole, ended up making double. I think I bogeyed the hole after that. And then I missed like a 3-foot birdie putt on the next par 5. Then bogeyed, like, and then it's just like, I started to right the ship a little bit, like at the end of the front 9, like I had strung like 3 pars in a row. Like, okay, like had a couple good birdie looks at it, just didn't make it. And then I bogeyed 10, or I parred 10, and then the absolute ejection started on 11. Hit one in the water, had a complete mental breakdown, blacked out on the tee box. Our guy Cody was very worried about my driver at that point, staying intact. Just I don't remember what I did. I swear he was like, it's like, I've never seen you do that. I'm like, what did I do? And he's like, dude, you lost your shit. I was like, oh, okay. Like, make double. No, I think I made. Yeah, I know. I made bogey there after hitting it in the water. Kind of strung it back together a little bit, and then I ended up going double, and then par double after sculling a chip on 7 or sculling an approach shot on 17 over the green. I make double. Then we get on 18. I'm like, okay, let's just string like 2 good swings together. T-ball's not been there all day. This is the worst round of golf I've played in probably 16 or 17 years at this point. But let's just try to string this 2-3 good swings together, get out of here with a birdie, maybe even hit a good second shot into the par 5, maybe an eagle. I proceed to nuke the first one out of bounds. Then I'm like, okay, we're going to give this one more chance. And I think I hit my second ball even further right out of bounds. And I just looked at everybody in our group and I said, I'm going to sit in the cart. And I sat and rode along the last hole and didn't really say much. We went for drinks afterwards and everybody was just like nervous to talk to me. But I shot 86 and I don't remember the last time I've done that. I told myself I'm going to forget about it. I also told myself I was not going to golf the rest of the week. I got myself so worked up the next day sitting there thinking about it. I went and hit range balls at lunch because I couldn't stand sitting there and remembering how bad I hit the ball. I'm like, I have to go get good shots in to try to forget this ever happened. I did kind of figured some things out, but I think the work stuff happening, like it just put me in like a bad mindset. And then, It was just a loose cannon from there. Just brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah. Which sides did you play?
White and blue.
Okay. Technically the toughest combo. So that's, if you get going bad, things can happen.
Spiral.
Yeah.
But I'm taking the Ted Lasso route here. I'm going to be a goldfish. You know, the good thing about goldfish is they have very short memories. So I'm a goldfish right now, other than recapping it right now, which I told you I would do. even though I didn't want to. But here we are.
This is good. So, it's for the healing process here, you know, and it's good. You got to flush it out. Flush it out. If you'll remember from our goals podcast, one of my goals was, and I felt like a pretty low bar, but would be a good indicator of how I'm playing for the year. I wanted to record one round each on each of the nines at even par or better. And I had a chance to do that on red on Friday, and I bogeyed nine to shoot 37.
Shit.
So, and it was like a real sloppy, like I left my approach short, and it was like, oh, do I chip or putt this? And I decided to chip it, and I gassed it by, and, you know, three putted for two putted from there. So like it was a sad way to finish. But one of the funnier things I've seen happen on the golf course recently happened during this round. So the hole before the play hole with Gunth, hole seven, red, we've talked about this a lot. It's a short par four, drivable for, you know, players like you, some of the other longer players. And we were downwind. So Gunth hits his drive pin high, and he's left, and there's kind of a fall off on that side of the green, and it's all fairway. And he was sitting there debating chipping and putting. And I kept, I was like, I think the play is putter. And he thought that too. That was what his gut said. And then he got over and he's like, I can't putt this. So I was like, all right, take two balls. Like, this is, we're practicing right now. Like, we're going to do an experiment here. So he chips it, kind of sad, you know, like probably had like 6 to 8 feet or whatever, just, you know, a little bleeder. Puts it, bang, would have been an eagle. And I just like bent in half. I was like cracking up because the way he was like, I cannot putt this. And then just to go and make it after he, you know, hit kind of a sad chip.
You got to keep it on the ground sometimes. Like, you know, that goes for like any amateur golfer, non-pro golfer. More times than not, just got to keep it on the ground. There's just less that can go wrong. I think if you hit 100 balls from there, keeping it on the ground and chipping it, it's, you know, more than not going to be better with the putter. So I'm a big fan of the putter. So congratulations to you for the sound advice.
Which I didn't follow two holes later, but there you go. So it was just like, it's one of those things truly, like, especially when you're, you know, a mid handicapper like me or like Gunth is, you know. Honestly, like a lot, most times your worst putt is way better than your worst chip will be. So like, if you just look at it from a basic, like from that perspective, it's pretty easy to make that decision. I think he got a little spooked by, it's kind of a, there is like a sharp incline there, right? Like when you're, you know, he was a little worried about that, but yeah, it was definitely a putt, not a chip.
Oh yeah. Well, he's a little gun shy from a couple years ago. The infamous chunked putter off the back fringe. I'm sure that still lives deep, deep in his memories. So,
yeah, we may have seen that scar tissue pop back up in the play hole with Gunth. So, I don't want to make this about him. I feel bad doing that. But hey, look,
we're piling on right now.
It was great. Yeah, like I said, absolute vibes. It has me super excited just for the season and us all being able to get out there and start playing regularly. First time breaking 80 for the year always feels good, you know. Hopefully something to build on head into next week's trip and get to play a little golf out in near Chi-Town. So,
hell yeah.
One last thing before we move on. I know you've got, you know, plenty of tournament golf and stuff on the docket here as you move forward throughout the summer. First up, you are participating in the Clover Nook Open.
Yeah. And I knew it was a pretty good professional tournament. Like, they usually, I mean, they've, look, there's the difference between, maybe I guess I shouldn't say this because Scottie Scheffler's on an absolute tear right now, but the difference between like the 20th guy in the world and a guy that's playing, you know, local professional tournaments, like, is pretty thin, right? Like, it's not like some huge gap for the most part. And this field is loaded. I mean, there's guys, we've got Dylan Meyer, who's on the Corn Ferry Tour this year, he's playing in it. I think he's got like conditional Corn Ferry Tour status, played at Illinois. He's one of the bigger names on there, but they're like, I went through it today and like, I stopped counting. I think I was at like 45 or 50 PGA Tour starts from guys that I was just kind of looking up on the tournament field. I don't add to that list. I've never played the PGA Tour event, but it's loaded, and I think it's going to be a good test. And that's why I'm playing in it. I feel like it's going to be a really good test. It's something new. I've never played in this event, but I've heard so many good things about it. So it is 3 days. There is a cut after the second day. So you're guaranteed two rounds. There's a cut going into the third round. And frankly, my goal is just to make it to Friday. That's the last day of the tournament. But work started today to get prepared for that tournament. Had this big plan. Wife had other plans for me today, but I didn't get to the range, didn't get on the putting green, didn't get to chip any, but we did hit some range balls. It felt good. It's starting to feel normal again. Up until like just today, it felt like my swing was just like not the same, but that's why we're kind of ramping it up two and a half weeks before this thing. We're going to really hit some grind sessions on the range, and eventually one day it's going to be just all wedges and putting, because I really, really, really need work there. So to get into mid-season form before this thing happens in 2.5 weeks.
I guess I had one question for you, because I don't play the competitive golf like you do, just club stuff. So like when you're prepping for a tournament or whatever, you know, as an amateur golfer, a dad of three, you know, a husband, works a day job. When you're prepping for that stuff, do you have a game plan, like a regular game plan? Like, what are you looking for to feel as you're approaching the tournament from your swing? Like, what's that look like for you?
I swear that the only thing that I was trying to find today, because I've been struggling, I'm not a thinker, like a huge thinker when I'm out there. Like, I'm not thinking about, I try not to think about three or four different things. That's typically when I get in trouble. When I'm playing my best golf, like I have one swing thought, and it can be different every time. And I'll tell you, I used to think I was weird. And then I listened to an interview with Jason Kokrak, and he said almost the same exact thing that I was thinking. Like when he's like, when I'm playing my best golf, I have one swing thought. This is working. Like I start doing it on the range. Like, whoa, like when I feel like I do this, this is working. That's all I'm going to think about when I get over a shot. So my goal today was to find that one swing thought. It's like, okay, let's hit some shots. Let's have, you know, each different swing. Let's have like a different swing thought. And that's what I try to narrow down. And then once I narrow it down, it's like, okay. And we start playing better. It's like, okay, how to keep that train rolling and on the tracks until the tournament starts. But yeah, that's realistically what it like. Just trying to keep it so simple for myself that, you know, just to have one thought is all I really go for. I mean, that's really what we're trying to figure out now.
Yeah, God, that's such a good conversation as a golfer is. I mean, when you think about swing thoughts and like the feels and all that stuff and trying to describe them or whatever, like, and taking lessons even, right? Like a teacher can be telling you something and you think you're feeling it or doing it, and it's not what they're trying to communicate to you, or yes, vice versa, right?
Yep.
And so, like, just the other day, Gunth was talking about, like, with his swing, he's like, I don't know what it is, but my right elbow, like, I just does not feel like it's doing what it's supposed to. And, like, me watching him, I don't know, I couldn't tell anything that he was doing that seemed weird or whatever, but it didn't feel right to him, so he wasn't hitting it as good as he, you know, could be. For me, I kind of right now with my... I've been struggling to trust this, but back when I got the fitting, I think I told you, Sean was trying to convince me to make it feel like the outside of my glove hand was facing him as he was standing right across from me. So basically opening the club face more on the way back.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I think, you know, the Waffle House ball is coming from a shut club face, obviously. So, but every time I would do it, it feels like I'm going to just block it off the planet, right? Well, after four holes of, you know, hitting some submarine balls and stuff to the left with playing with Gunth, I was like, all right, I just got to trust what Sean's telling me here. Started doing it. Wow. The ball started coming out of the right window. Finally. How about that? Yeah. Right. Like, so right now that's my thought, right? That's what I'm thinking, what I'm trying to feel. And I'm going to ride that as long as I can, let's see your point. And then you know, eventually the wheels are going to fall off again. I'm going to have to go searching. But yeah, that's funny just to hear you describe it that way.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is, right? Like, you just kind of ride it until it doesn't work anymore. Then you kind of go back to the drawing board. It might take you a week to figure out, especially in the summer when we're playing a lot of golf, like, it might only take you a week. Like, when it's like up and down weather wise, it's like, oh God, like, if I don't make an effort to go to the range, like, it might be 3 weeks before I figure this out. And I think that's really what that round on Tuesday was. It was like, I didn't have a swing thought. I like, there was nine different things going through my head, but like, I remember the one from last year. So I have a tendency to kind of pick the club up, like, without, like, not making a turn, but just kind of picking it up. And I remember the one last year when I was playing my best golf. It was like, I try to pick out like a something that was like 3 or 4 inches behind the ball and like really try to feel like I'm dragging the club back. And that swing thought got me. I mean, it worked for like a month. But then it was like, all of a sudden it was like, I got to August. I'm like, holy shit, I need to figure something else out because this doesn't seem to be working anymore. But it's always something different. I've never had the same swing thought like multiple times. Like, I know that sounds like weird because my swing hasn't changed that much, but like, I've always found that like, if I try to go back to an old one, it never works again. So like, I just try to find something else. Like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. And I know it sounds weird, but like, the same ones don't work a second time. I don't know.
I think that's right. I totally agree with that. I've had a similar experience. You know, it's back when I was playing my best, like, it was me, because I used to slice it. And, you know, now, like, I mean, I don't think you guys could imagine me not hitting a draw. So, like, I worked really hard to get to that point. And then everything that I did to do that is kind of like, now I have to unbreak some of those habits that have created over the years, you know? So it's a constant. That's why we love golf, right? Like, the constant battle with it, right? It's truly just a never ending war.
It's so funny. So like, I was having a conversation, shout out to Joe. He is a listener, found that out this weekend, but you know, it was funny. I was telling him, I was like, yeah, I'm not playing the US Open this year, but I am going to play a professional tournament. And like, he had made some comments along the lines of like, golf's awesome because like, if you're good, like, you can catch a heater one day and like, and beat someone that's much better than you. Right. Like, I've had it happen to me, right? Like, people that I know are not better than me. Like, if we play 100 rounds, I'm probably going to beat them 98 times. But like, I ended up seeing this tweet today, and I thought it was, because he put it in terms, he was a track guy at Tiffin. He put it in terms of, you know, there's only like four guys that can run like sub 9.8 40 or hundreds. Like, a guy can't get on a heater that day and all of a sudden go from like 10 to 9.7, right? Like, it's just not how it works. And that's how a lot of sports are. But I saw this tweet today. It was like, a 15 handicapper can hit a tour level shot at any moment, but an average baseball player can't throw a 95 mile an hour fastball or hit a 400 foot home run ever. And he's like, I think this is the part of why golf drives us insane. Sometimes we get a glimpse of the grandeur. And I'm like, that is like the perfect encapsulation of like what golf is and why people just get sucked in. John Sherman is who that was from. He's like, he runs his own podcast and he's like on the mental side of golf and how to think and stuff like that. So he's a really good follow if you're on Twitter. But I think that's exactly like the perfect way to put it.
Man. Yeah. Now I'm fired up again for more golf. It's crazy. It's just that time of year. Like, I'm just so ready.
Yep.
One last thing on Klovernik Open. You think you're going to, you know, vanquish some demons from your last time playing there?
I think so. Yeah. I have always played that course other than my match play, which went it just didn't get off to a good start. But other than that round, like, I've always played that course really well.
Yeah.
Like, there's just the holes set up so well for cuts, and other than like one hole, like, everything sets up well for a cut. I don't know. I've always played well there. So that's why I'm like, you know, one round outdoes, you know, probably 10 or 12 rounds I played there that I played really good. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Maybe we'll drop a YouTube video. I've been taking some video, So we'll maybe something in the future.
Cool. Nice tease. I like it. All right. On to the next thing. We've mentioned several times. Look, next week is our guy Gunt's bachelor party. The boys are heading to Wrigleyville. Gonna play some golf, catch a Cubs game. You know, all the things.
All of them.
Yeah. And so that got us thinking a little bit. Look, let's do another power rankings, right? And we just want to try to encapsulate, you know, what really makes a guy's trip great, right? And there's a variety of guy's trips. You know, golf trips are a little different than, you know, a bachelor party versus just like a weekend. Maybe you're going to check out distilleries or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do feel like in general, when you're traveling with a group of dudes, there are some basic ingredients that, you know, make it a good weekend or a good trip, right?
100%. Yep.
So we're going to go 6-1, both of our top six here. I'm hoping there's a little bit of difference between the two of us. There usually is.
I think there's going to be.
Good, good. I want to start with honorable mentions on this one, but, and I'm sorry if one of these two is yours, but to me, it feels like table stakes, right? So like, I didn't want to have in my top six. So two things. One, you got to have a great group of guys, right? Like just people you want to be around is an obvious ingredient. And two, location does matter. Depends on what kind of trip you're doing, right? But like, you know, obviously you want to be in a spot that suits whatever the style of trip is, with plenty
for
of stuff
sure.
to do
yep.
or not do, depending on what kind of vibe you're going for. So just mm-hmm. basic level things yeah. that I wanted to cover. So, but
yeah, I mean, if I had an honorable mention, relatively new to the list, but I think group betting, some kind of group parlay, didn't quite make the top six, but I think, you know, the boys hit on, you know, all hit the same parlay. Things could get real electric real fast. I thought that was a good honorable mention. Good food, honorable mention. Didn't make my top six, but I feel like that kind of goes without, you know, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, like super, super nice, but just like, hey, I, you know, I've drank 16 Miller Lights today. Like I need something that's going to hit the spot kind of deal. So,
sure.
Not like just McDonald's or something like that. Like, I mean, good variety of food would be a plus for sure. But those were my two honorable mentions.
The betting ones, I had not thought of that. But like, I mean, you see videos all the time when guys take Vegas trips or whatever, and like they roll in and everybody throws in on red or black or whatever, and you know it's an electric moment. I think you're right. I think we might need to get something cooked up for that Cubs game or something. You know.
Fuck yes.
Win while we're there.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to kick it off this time with my number six. Again, this is a pretty basic one, but I think this really matters. Among the number of people that you have, however many it is, there needs to be like a basic common understanding of what the trip is. Because like, as this is especially for, I think, along the lines of golf trips. If it's a golf trip, like, is this a, you know, we're going to the bar the night before, heading out, we're playing 36, and then it's back. You know, like, are you just having fun? Or is this like, do you have people out there trying to post scores? Do you have some kind of competition that matters? Like, you can't have, everybody needs to be on the same page with what to expect from the trip. It can't be a bunch of people going a bunch of different directions, or else it just kind of like, somebody's going to get mad, frustrated, it's going to disappoint somebody. Like, it has to be an established, this is what we're doing here kind of thing.
Yeah, I didn't think about that one, but that's I do appreciate your thought behind that, because I fucking didn't think of that. So maybe I'm the one that's like always screwing shit up on trips. My six, I honestly, this was higher on my list and kind of kept thinking of things, it kind of worked its way down. Road beers at any point, like.
Oh,
road
God.
Beers have to be a thing.
Our lists are going to be so different.
Frankly, I'm not sure if I've ever been on a dude's trip where there hasn't been road beers drink. But that's tapping in at six for me, road beers.
Man. And I do want to clarify on my number six. I don't mean that this thing needs to be like an exact itinerary or anything. I'm just saying the type of vibe needs to be equal among everyone.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Number five for me, this is a similar thing. This one I think has changed over time for me. I think adequate accommodations at this point in our lives are important. And more so from
assumed.
Like, you can't be what?
I think adequate accommodations are assumed at this point, considering we're like 34 years old. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
no booking a $50 night hotel or something like that.
Yeah. And you can't, you know, you can't be rolling up with eight guys to a place that like says it sleeps four. Like I'm not saying everybody has to have a bed. Like I get it. We're going to have some air mattresses. Like people are going to sleep on pull out sofas. That's fine. So if it's a bigger bed, you can share it. But like, we can't be like at 34 rolling in at night and then like someone sleeping on the floor with, you know, a blanket or whatever. And also it is a must to have more than one bathroom. That probably is the most key of all of this. You have to have more than one bathroom.
That, especially if you get on the plus side of like four or more, you have to have more than one bathroom. It's an absolute must.
Yeah, it almost feels like you have to have half as many bathrooms as people that you have there.
I feel that. That's a good math. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, our lists are going to be so different. You're so thoughtful. And what I'm about to say as my number five makes me feel like I might be this person more than I thought I was. But every men's trip has to have a token dumbass with them. Every single one.
Oh, my God. You just wait till we get later in my list. Okay, that's great. Keep going.
Every men's trip, like, and it doesn't have to be the same person every time. And frankly, I've been on trips with the same people, and I've been it. And then that next trip, I'm not that guy, and someone else is. Like, but everybody's got to have a token dumbass, someone there to just really shake things up, really throw some shystiness into the situation. But yeah, it's not the same without a token dumbass on the trip.
You have no idea how much joy that just gave me, because this list may be the perfect dichotomy of the two of us. You'll see why when I get to one later. But also, this next one's pretty in line with that too. Number four for me: cases of bottled water and snacks. We need You need recovery supplies. And bottled water is important because often you don't know what you're walking into at an Airbnb. You don't know what the cups are like. You don't know if the water filter situation is set.
You don't.
You got to be able to just grab one, set it on your nightstand before you go out, so when you get back, you can just chug it. Like, you got to have, plus you can keep track of how many you've had. Like, so you at least have some idea if you've had enough viable water. that's a must. It's a must.
I might change one of mine on my list to everybody needs a Mitch in their trip, just to like make sure things are like properly ran. People have just water to drink. Like,
just wait, we're getting there. Just wait.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My number four, gonna get back on track here a little bit. Go to some type of sporting event. Doesn't have to be gigantic. Mm. Can be, you know. I've been on trips. Some of the best ones I've been on, we've gone to, you know, a baseball game. Saw my first NHL game on a guy's trip one time. Just really amps up the mood. Something to get hyped about, especially because you're going to a game. A lot of times you're going to a game where you know your favorite team's not playing, so like you can like choose the route for the home team because it gets more electric that way. But that's always a good one, I feel like. Makes elevates the trip a little bit.
Yeah, that's not one I considered, but thinking about this trip in particular, you're right. Like, I'm really excited to go to a game and not have like a super invested interest in like the outcome. I'm just going to be there for the vibes and like the good time. And that's,
oh, for sure.
That's so different than when you go to, like you said, your hometown, your favorite team's game, right? Like, it's just way different. So I love that one for you. That's a good call out. Number three for me. This might be the one you agree with most for me. You need downtime, but not just downtime. You also have to have downtime activities. So I'm thinking like beer pong, cards, dice, cornhole. Like, because there's two types of people that go on these trips, right? There's the people that need a nap after they just played golf, and there's the people that just want to keep the party going. So you got to have options for both. Options for both here.
I like that. I didn't think about that, but I did. You know, we're gonna have a little bit of downtime and after some activities. So, you know, I feel like I might have to take the director charge of that and really bring some dice. You know, play a little ship captain crew. Not a big card guy, but I didn't even think about that. That is there's always those trips where people don't plan for that, and you know, gets the people that want to keep the party going, like then now they're just sitting there and drinking and not doing anything, which is makes things a lot worse, you know.
Absolutely. You like by having those options, you get people engaged, especially when you're going like a trip like this, like we loosely know everybody that's going, but not entirely. So these are the moments when like the friendships are made on the trip, right? Like this is where you find your other people and bonds are formed. So that's very, very critical element to a guy's trip.
Yes. Number three for you.
That was my number three.
Oh, what was your number three? I'm up. Okay. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So we're going to get back a little loose cannon here with this one. At least something gets broken. Or someone gets broken. every good trip I've been on, there's always been a story of, you know, something getting broken because someone's doing something fucking stupid. Or someone gets broken. And what I mean by that, not like broken, we don't want anybody to get injured, right? I'm not talking about injuries. I'm talking about emotional damage. Someone has a meltdown because, you know, they didn't text their wife back for 10 hours. You know, someone sits out an activity because they're just not mentally strong enough to handle the situation of, you know, a marathon drinking day. You know, like there's always that guy, but it is an essential part to remembering the trip. It just absolutely is. And it just, you know, it gives everybody else like a guy to dump on, you know, like fuck this dude. He's ruining the vibes. Like you can just really shit on him. And then the next day you're friends again. Like, everybody needs that guy in their trip or something that happens to, and it can happen to multiple people, right? Like it just can. Things get a little reckless on these trips.
You know what other purpose that this person serves is they become the group scapegoat. So like, it's a true, like you don't have to be the fastest to escape the bear. You just can't be the slowest. So like when you get home, and you're like a giant piece of shit, like you just tell your wife, like, oh my God, you know, look, you should have seen so-and-so, like, oh,
yeah,
it was a disaster, you know, like that's,
yeah, they become a scapegoat, and then they also become an excuse, right? You're like, hey, why didn't you text me back for 3 hours? Like, dude, so-and-so, like, I had to go take care of him. He was a mess. Him and his wife are fighting. I was there for emotional support. Like, you can use them as a crutch, essentially. You can use their bad, you know, their bad juju for your escapability from certain situations. So,
that's a good call out. I hadn't even thought of that one. This also quick story reminds me of shout out to Shock. On my bachelor party, we stayed in Fairfield Glade, played some golf, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but I think we were playing Kings, and we were sitting at this little round table or whatever, and there's like a little chandelier or light fixture above the table. Shock's a tall dude. Decides to stand up, go get a beer or whatever, hits his head on the light, and the light fixture just falls on the ground and shatters into a million pieces. So,
remember that.
In the spirit of something being broken, there you go. Yeah.
Oh. I had one particular person in mind when I made that in my list from a very recent golf trip that we all went on. He was the ultimate scapegoat that weekend. So.
I think he both broke something and himself. So yeah, he qualifies all around.
Yeah. Oh, so good. All right. What's number two for you?
Number two. This is where I said these lists, like, I think we're just the perfect dichotomy in a situation like this. You wanted the shithead to be there. You got to have your, you know, your village idiot on the trip. I need someone to be the adult in the room on this trip. you got to have, this person's probably done all the logistics up front. You know, they've booked the Airbnb, they've made the reservation at the restaurant, they booked the tee times, but they're also the person Because the problem when you get a bunch of guys together, most of us are very chill and we're just like, eh, whatever. You know, someone asks a question, trying to make a decision on, you know, where to go eat or whatever. Every bunch of people saying whatever does not help anyone.
Yeah.
You need the adult in the room who's going to be there to make a decision and not be worried about the consequences of the decision. And also this person, like you said, often the person that's the babysitter, if something goes a little south, or the person that's a mediator, if there's conflict, you know, you just have to have that, the rock of the group that will sustain you for the trip.
Amen to that. Yeah, that's, see, that this is why I feel like I'm starting to fall into a lot of mine on my list, because I'm not that person. You don't want me to make a decision for anybody. You're not going to like it. Like, you think if I make a decision for somebody, you're not going to like it. I will purposely pick something that you don't like because you gave me that option to pick. So, but you might be the adult in the room sometimes. Sometimes.
I think the beauty with this trip too is I feel like we might have a couple people that are eligible for this, which you can kind of pass the ball back and forth, right? Like you can, you know, we can play more of a zone defense on this situation instead of a straight man to man. And also, like I said with these two lists, like I feel like you and I were Robert Frost walking through the woods and we hit that fork in the road, and like you're going a certain direction and I'm going the other direction. But where we get into trouble, as we've discussed before, is when I decide to follow you down that road. That's when liftoff occurs.
Oh, all right. So my number two and number one, they're very close, but they are very different in the same setting. My number two is also a person on the trip. You always have to have the guy that's willing to do what it takes to set the vibe. And what I mean by this is, look, we had a rough night the night before. He doesn't want to take this shot at brunch. He doesn't, but he's going to do it to set the vibe, okay? Set the expectations for the day. You always have to have a guy that's willing to take bullets to get the vibe in the right direction. And this is different than the token idiot, by the way. The token idiot's just a moron, like just doing stupid shit the whole time. The vibe setter is very calculated in setting the vibe of each day.
Yeah, that honestly is like the true leader of the group, right? That's the guy that people follow.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Like, and you never know who's going to be. It could be completely, you know, it could be someone you're not expecting, right? But it's usually like if it's a group of 12 or 16, there's usually like four guys that are quality candidates to be that person on that trip.
The best is when that person becomes like a Rudy-like figure, you know, where it's like you don't expect it from them, but then they become like the hero of the moment. And that is where the vibes just absolutely skyrocket.
I've had that happen on a trip before for a bachelor party. It was the guy that was probably least expected to be that guy, like really set the tone every day. And it was quite the Cinderella story.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And everybody loves a Cinderella story. And yeah, once that person goes, it gives you permission. And that's, you know, the ultimate, really. All right. I feel like number one for me is a bit of a letdown, purely because like it feels so obvious, especially compared to the rest of my list. But like cold beer, drinks, stogies, you know, basically the list of vices that are going to get you through the weekend, right? Like, it's a necessity. Like it can't not be number one. It's the things that bring you together. It's the community builders. It's the things that lead you down the path you didn't think you were going to go down. It's everything that sets you up. It's the foundation upon which a trip is built.
Stogies? Why not?
Why not?
Yeah. That, I mean, seems obvious. But again, this is where you come in, right? Like, I'd have just shown up to this trip winging it. You show up with the goods, right? And I didn't even have that on my list. So kudos to you. It seems obvious, but it's a great, great one. It's a great number one for sure. All right. So my number one, again, like I said, you have the vibe setter. There is a point in time on the trip where you look around and everybody's vibing. No one's falling apart. No one's too drunk. No one's not drunk enough, right? There's a point in time when you get there to that point, when you look around, you're like, I think everybody's having a freaking awesome time right now. And like, this is a great moment. There's always that one point. And it doesn't happen on every trip. I've seen trips where just like never, it's kind of like you said, people going different ways sometimes. And, you know, maybe half the group didn't want to do this and the other half did. And you're at this. So like, not everybody's enjoying themselves. There is a moment in time where it has to happen for it to be the ultimate guy's trip. And that's my number one. We had it happen at a clubhouse during a frost delay. Did we not?
We absolutely did, yes.
Yes, it was the most perfect frost delay I've ever had in my entire life. So
God, that's so good. You're so right. It's like the Andy Bernard, right? Like you wish you knew you were in the good times when they were happening, right? Like that.
Yeah.
There is always that exact moment.
True. I mean, think about it. Like, and it might go by fast. Like these things don't last long. I mean, they can last like as short as 5 minutes. They can last as long as a couple hours. You just never really know, but you better soak it in when it happens. If it does happen, like I said, doesn't always happen. So.
Oh, so good. God, this whole episode is just firing me up for everything. Yeah, I know. I've been texting with Nick. I'm like, dude, I'm starting like the notes in my phone. Like, I got to get my list to get like I'm trying to like just microdose myself leading up to the trip.
Hell yeah.
Oh man, and I tease this with Gunth Friday when I play with them. Look, a side effect of doing this podcast and kind of dabbling in some graphics and different things is my editing skills are improving. And I'm going to drop such an incredible meme on the entire group text sometime next week leading up to this trip. I might just retire. Like it might just be game over for me at that point. I had to get that out here to you. So just when you see it, you'll know.
Oh God, you're going to outdo my t-shirt and I'm going to be so sad.
Oh yeah. Well, that has its own place too. Don't worry.
God, can't wait. Cannot wait.
Can't wait. Oh man, this is a tough transition. We're going to make this quick because I really don't feel like talking about this, to be honest with you. RBC Heritage, PGA Tour. The only reason I really bring this up, look, we're making some moves in the one and done.
We are.
PGA Tour is trying to end our streak by putting this team event in. So now we don't have a pick for this week. We're skipping an event. The only thing that could cool us off right now. Patrick Cantlay finished tied for third, a nice $1.18 million.
Hell yeah.
We jumped all the way up to 1,674th place. We are vibing right now. We're only $1.1 million out of the money, so we're very much in reach back in it. Now, look, the person in first right now still has like double the amount of money we have, but hey, a lot of big money out there left. We can make it up.
Look, we needed the last 2 weeks. Like, you know, when you need it and you had to have it and we did it, right? So we're back on track. Really the miscuts really sting at this point because it's like if we could have just wrangled any money together in those starts, we'd be singing a whole different tune right now. But hey, the past is the past. We still have three majors. How many elevated events do we have left? A couple.
I mean, there's a Memorial, Wells Fargo, and then the playoffs too. There might be Travelers too.
Travelers,
so there's a lot.
So there's three. We'll just call it three and three. We got three majors and three elevated events left. So
yeah.
Look,
we're gonna keep digging.
Hey, we're staring. We are in the rearview mirror of the people now. We were sitting in the pit stop. Waiting to get gas in the tank not that long ago, but we are officially back in the race. I'm excited. I'm excited. We're definitely vibing right now.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up. And then also, obviously, just a couple of notes on Scottie Scheffler, because he obviously just won the RBC Heritage on a Monday finish today. It's his fourth win in five starts. He's won the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the Players' Championship, the Masters, and now the RBC Heritage. So three elevated events in a major in this stretch. The only player to beat him over those five events was Steven Yeager, and that was basically because Scotty missed like a six-footer to go to a playoff, which he could have, you know, also won. So that's wild. He bogeyed the 72nd hole of the tournament today. Before that, his last bogey was during the final round of the Masters on hole 11.
Dude, that is insane, by the way.
He doubled the third hole of the first round this week, but didn't have another bogey until the last hole of the tournament. So, like, it is, I mean, just, there's not enough superlatives at this point to talk about it. It's going to be so fascinating, kind of like we talked last week, once this kid comes around, to see if he's able to keep the streak alive. I don't see any reason why he couldn't, but man, it's just, it's crazy. We haven't seen this dominance since Tiger, like, truly.
No, and it's crazy, you know, to do that after winning the Masters. I saw it from a couple guys, and so I'm not going to single one out, but, you know, they're like, if it, the Masters event, the Masters win should not scare you. This win should scare you, because the guy just came off of the ultimate high, right? You win your second Masters. Guy doesn't even go straight to the Heritage. Like, he goes home, doesn't get back to, he doesn't get to Hilton Head until, like, I think, like, Tuesday night, like, late Tuesday night. Walks down the course, shoots a measly 2-under in the first round, and then just absolutely train wrecks everybody the rest of the week. So, and I truly believe it. Like, if you're going to be scared of Scottie Scheffler, it's the fact that he can do that. Come off an ultimate high. But the guy's mindset is in such a good place where he's just like, it's just even keel no matter what. Like, when, I shot 2-under, well, I'm just going to shoot 63 on Saturday to make up for it. Like, just truly unbelievable stretch of golf he's playing. And I think it has a lot to do with his mindset of just being like steady Eddie, not too high, not too low, ever.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing else to add there. It's honestly, it's really fun to watch. I'm glad, to be honest with you, I'm glad it's Scotty doing this, because he, like, I mean, his personality is one thing or whatever, but I'm fascinated watching the guy play. Like, the off balance swings, like, every swing looks different. He's incredibly, it's underrated, like, how incredibly creative he is around the greens. Yeah, he's like one of the few golfers, I think, that it's like fun to watch him play.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny, and I think JT said this, like, he plays a boring golf. Like, it's not, like, crazy, right? It's not like, you know, we remember the shots from Tiger, like, hitting the bunker shot at Torrey, like, over the trees and onto the green. Like, Tiger always had this, like, showmanship to him, right? Like, where it's like, mm-hmm. He wasn't always hitting fairways and greens. It was like, he was hitting greens, but it was always, like, in some crazy form, right? Scotty's just like, tee it off, fairway, green. Oh, I made it. Tee off, fairway, green. All right, two putt. Like, but I'll tell you, and as a fan, like, I think it's fun to watch him because he's different, right? Like, everybody builds this perfect swing, and everybody should have this swing and this footwork and this and that. Everybody should look like Rory, right? And he's completely opposite of that. That makes it fun from a fan standpoint, but from a player standpoint, like, playing against him, like, it does have to be infuriating where you're just like, how can this guy just go out and play the most boring golf and smoke me by six shots? Like, I'm sure it's got to be frustrating for the players.
Oh yeah. I'm curious at what point, like, his inevitability starts to have an effect on players that he's playing with in these tournaments, right? Like, you can't ever count him out. Like, and I think this week is a perfect example of that. Like, it'd be so easy for him just to mail it in, you know, ho-hum finish or whatever this week, but no, he's going to come out and he's going to win by, you know, four shots. Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah. Like, it was never in question. Like, I thought during the rain delay, they should have just given him the trophy and calling it a day. Like, let's just end this thing with him having four holes left. He's not losing this anyway. So,
yeah, no doubt. All right, a couple last notes from Pro Golf. We forgot to give out the Back Nine Six Pack Award last week for the Masters, and there's absolutely a deserving person to talk about this with. And no, it's not because I don't like this player, but last week, Brian Harman shot an 81 by going 34-47 during round one.
Yeah.
Your reigning Open champion shot an 81 at the Masters with a back nine 47. He birdied 8 and 9, clearly did not get the back nine six pack at the turn, and look what happened. You go, he goes par, bogey, bogey, double, par, par, triple, double, double to finish for a 47.
Oh, I couldn't believe, I thought it was fake. Like, I thought there was some kind of typo or something. I'm like, there's just no way a professional golfer did that. And sure enough, I was dead wrong. It was completely accurate. And yeah, it's just crazy to think about, like, what was that, 7 months ago, 8 months ago, guys went in the freaking Open, and now he's shooting 80s in the Masters. So golf's a funny game sometimes.
It's even crazier because usually these kind of things are like a slow bleed, and this was like, he had a clean 34 on the front, and then to make the turn and do that is just, man, that's like, it's hard to describe, truly.
Yeah.
Yep. And then this week at the RBC Heritage, I don't know how much you caught yesterday, but Ben On absolutely lit himself on fire yesterday.
I did not see his scorecard. I did watch a little bit, but I did not see his scorecard.
So he also shot an 80. He did it the flip side, or the flip way, reverse way of Brian Harman. He went 45-35 for his 80. I think he was inside the top 20 at the start of the round. And wound up finishing in 67th, which in a signature event is just massive amounts of money lighting on fire. His
you
first
talk about
nine,
lighting money on fire.
Yeah. His first nine, double par bogey, double bogey par, bogey bogey par for a 45. That's one way to get to nine over par.
Wow.
And then
wow.
He shot even par 35 on the back with a double on a par five. So, but yeah, it was just this was one where it was like, I kind of caught some of it during the early coverage. He was playing with Sung J-M. So, you know, two Koreans playing together. I think they're actually somewhat of friends. And like, if you're Sung J-M and you're just witnessing this car wreck, it's like, you don't even want to play. Like, it's like, what do you say? What do you do? Like, it's just tough.
So true.
So yeah, had to give those out before we forgot about those.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, this week,
both deserving.
This week, Zurich Classic. There are some fun teams playing. I'll pop in and check it out or whatever. It's weird to me that this tournament, because it's a different format and everything, and guys get to pick their partner and all that stuff. Like, you'd think it would have a little more excitement and I'd want to watch it more often, but I would never really seem to care. And I don't know why.
I will say this, when it was a single person event, I didn't watch it at all. This always makes me turn on a little bit just to see the team format of it. Are the Fitzpatrick brothers playing in it together again?
I think so. Yeah,
are they? Okay. I assume they were, but I wasn't sure. I know Cantlay and Xander are playing together again, I believe. But I'll turn it on for a little bit. It's always fun to have something a little different, but I don't think I'm going to sit down and watch it like every day. I'll probably bet on it a little bit, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah. Would you, so if you, I know this is not a real situation, but would you rather have this event or the match play back?
No, the match play 100%.
Yeah. That's my problem. I think is like, as an alternate format, it's not like the right alternate format. So maybe that's what it is.
No, I would be a big fan if they did it like a co-ed, like, boy, you know, guy, girl teams. I think that would draw me in a lot more than this format. You know, and just if it was right now, like, I feel like Scotty and Nelly would just have to go out there and just bury everybody as deep as they possibly could because they're the two hottest golfers on the planet. But I think that format to me would draw me in more than this one. If they were going to keep, if they had to keep this style of event and the match play would never come back, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. All right. Well, I think it's time. We're heading to the patio where anything goes. Got to remind people that we haven't mentioned that before or recently. I forget what my question is, so you go first.
Oh, okay. All right. So we had the question of if, you know, what your golf swing, if you had to like a piece of art, your golf swing was a piece of art, what would it be? We're now going to translate this because it was very popular, right? We're going to translate this into something that I feel like a lot of people could start naming things because, look, people aren't as cultured as you and I, which is an honest joke because really? I'm the least cultured person in the entire world. But so if your swing was a food, what food would it be?
Ooh, man. I mean, look, obviously the joke, I could easily say it's some Waffle House, you know, hash browns. They're smothered and covered. My swing, what kind of food would it be? I think it would have to be some sort of, it would have to be some sort of fusion. Like because there's like,
it's like a mixed bag.
Yeah. And it's not always the same, you know, it's kind of, you know, it gets across the line at the top sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't, you know. Sometimes I'm really in rhythm. Other times I'm just not. Like, yeah, saving it at the bottom a lot. I don't know. Give me a second. What do you have an idea for you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mine would be a Chipotle bowl. And this is why. So you were right on the fusion thing, but I think for different reasons. It's not like, oh, it's all mixed up, this and that. It can be sloppy, right? It can be very sloppy. A little too much hot sauce really ruins the next day or that day. You have to be skillful about what you're putting in your bowl, or it just can be a mess, right? And that is the ultimate, like, and Chipotle bowls don't look good, right? Like, it gets all mixed together. Like, it doesn't look good, but it tastes good, right? So I would say if I had to put mine down, it was between that or, you know, it was between that or a Big Mac because, like, you know, those things fall apart on you quickly. They can. Sometimes you get through it and like you keep it all intact, right? But sometimes you don't. But I think the Chipotle bowl is what I was going for. Doesn't look good, but it tastes good. Well, used to taste good. Well documented that we're Chipotle haters on this podcast at this point. So,
yeah, man, that's definitely a good one. I think as I sit here, this is something I have not had in countless years, possibly decades at this point. And it may be like a super Midwestern thing, so pardon the colloquialism if it is. I kind of think mine might be a sloppy Joe. Like, it's just messy. But like when you eat it, you're like, you know what? Like, it kind of works, right?
I can
like
digest it's, this. This is,
yeah. You know, it doesn't look pretty. Little, you know, it falls, like you said, it falls apart.
Doesn't work for everybody, you know, it, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think something like that, that might be the answer here. It's a sloppy Joe.
Yeah, I thought of something along those lines when I thought of this question. And, like, I thought of, like, a skyline, right? Like a four-way, because, you know, like, it doesn't work for anybody but us, right? Or just me, right? Like, people outside of Cincinnati hate Skyline. It's well documented by many of people, everybody from Bob Does Sports, all this. But it works for me, right? Like, that's what it all comes down to.
I think I might change my answer to Skyline purely because, like, there's a joke in there about, like, having a five-way miss or something. So, like, that, I think that's what that might be the new answer for me. I'm Cincinnati.
I don't ever go the full five-way, but... Yeah. I don't ever go the full five way, but I've got a four way mix for sure. So
yeah, five way for me, it's like there's left, there's extra left, there's long, there's short, and there's right. Like there's five options.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I can't wait to hear about what people think their swing is food wise.
Yeah, there's some good ones that could be out there for sure. We'll have to mine some answers on that one. I want to hear people's art comments too. I think that's another, we can run that back as well.
Hear
from some people on that. All right, my question. As often is the case, Susie's constantly firing me questions, and so I just kind of went through some screenshots I'd taken over time. I think the answer to this one's probably pretty simple. Probably won't be much discussion around it, but I thought it was interesting nonetheless. What is the cheapest thing that somebody can buy you that will make you happy?
Man, that's a good question, because there's a couple things that come to my mind, but I'm trying to like think of the best one. And like what, because like I think now they might be about the same price, but I guess it depends on where you go too. I mean, honestly, like a draft beer, man. Like line me up a tall drafty.
Yeah.
You know, they're anywhere from like, you know, we're in the Midwest, so RIP to the East Coast and like big city people, but yeah, you can go around here and get you one for about $3.50 during a happy hour, right? Cheap happiness to me. I would say that's definitely probably the top one. Like I know I'm in the I'm not in the my or my, the majority when I say this. A lot of people don't like draft beer. I prefer draft beer. So yeah, I'm gonna say like a draft Miller Lite would be a cheap way to just cheer me up.
Yeah, that's why I think there's a simple answer, and I think you just nailed it, right? Like, it's either that or maybe a coffee, depending on, you know, where you get it, what kind it is.
So that's why I said,
you know?
I'm like, it depends on where you go. Like, the coffee could be a little more expensive, right? But I think, like, a coffee in the morning, too, like, you weren't expecting it. Someone shows up and it's like, hey, I got you coffee. Like, hell yeah. Like, that gets the day started off right. Maybe you didn't have time to stop for the coffee, right? Like, I think they kind of fall into the same category. A cheap way to make someone kind of happy.
Or whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to think of other answers too, and I struggle with it. Because I also think it kind of depends on who gives it to you too, can have an effect on that. So, like, obviously, you know, your kid, they buy you something that's like, it could be completely useless to you, but you know, the fact that they thought of you and they wanted to give you that particular thing or whatever, like, makes it special in that way. So I don't know.
Well, my daughter got me a $3 back scratcher for Christmas about 2 years ago. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Top notch gift for $3. I mean, I don't think they get much better than that. I thought of like the long lines of like, if you're hungry, like a candy bar, like someone just rolls up and you're like, dude, I'm dying. And you're like, hey, like I got you a Snickers. Like, hell yeah. Like, that's going to hit the spot. Going to get you a little taste in your mouth, especially when you're hungry. Like, what does a Snickers run nowadays? Like $2? Like, be a solid. If you're in a dire situation of hunger, it wouldn't be a bad way to get started.
Yeah, unless they try to give you a Three Musketeers, then fuck you.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, thank you. I'd throw it on the ground and stomp on it. So,
another shout out among many for Gunth there. There you go. Yeah, but I think that's right, though. I think the beer takes it, you know, a nice drafty. It doesn't have to be Miller Lite, you know, like if you want to, shit, give me, somebody's got a natty on draft, a hoodie, whatever, you know,
fuck,
throw it my way.
Yeah, I will not complain about a beer, maybe other than a couple, but even then, if it was free, like someone bought it for me, like I'm not going to say no, like, oh God, I don't like this. Like, no thanks. Like, please don't do this. Like, I'm going to drink it. But yeah, I don't care what kind it is. Like, you spent the $3 for my happiness. I'm down.
Yep. Now I know exactly what to get you several of next weekend. So this is, yeah, this is good.
Keep them flowing.
Yeah. All right. I think that'll do it for this week on the Back Nine Six Pack. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show. That helps us out a ton. Follow us on social media at Back Nine Six Pack. Like we said, got some fun new content lined up as golf season's kicking off. Get to see Justin on his journey to the Clover Nook Open. Watch Gunth play a hole. Maybe watch some others of us play some holes. And we're just going to have some fun with it. So join us out here.
Sounds like a plan.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll see you next week then. Cheers.
Yep. See ya. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Back Nine Six Pack. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Back Nine Six Pack for all your content needs. We'll see you guys next week. Cheers.